Baroness Lashini had her weapon drawn, a snub-nosed Browning 38, but kept the blaster close to her side. Things seemed to be happening fast, and she wasn't about to tip her hand until she knew exactly what was going on.
Slade?
Yes, Baroness?
Do you have the flare?
The man nodded.
Make your way to the wall and get ready to light it. I have a feeling a hole is going to open up in the wall around this vill very soon.
The sick man ran off, slipping unnoticed into the crowd. The friends ran single file through the narrow streets of the vill, Eleander leading the way, Ryan and JB covering their rear.
Mildred!
Right here!
I'm worried about Jack.
He'll be fine.
His wound is almost healed, yes, but I'm afraid he's been given something. Something bad.
Like what?
I can't be sure, but just from looking at him, I think he might have been given some bang.
What? Why would someone do that to him?
Revenge would be my guess. If Ryan killed the Baron's brother, then he probably had Jack injected with bang to get back at him, slow down the group.
Mildred turned to look at Jack. The albino teen was keeping pace with the rest of them, but the usual spark was gone from his eyes. It was as if he were going through the motions, nothing more.
What will happen to him?
Eleander held back her answer as the group turned a corner. At the end of the line, Ryan sent a few rounds from his Sig Sauer down the alleyway, catching a trailing sec man in the chest. The man clutched at his chest, and as he died, he momentarily blocked the alleyway. Other sec men appeared behind the man and used his bleeding body as a shield. JB fired a few more rounds, pushing the sec man back and chilling the lead man, sending him reeling backward onto the alley floor.
When the drug is first administered, the feeling is euphoric. The world is a beautiful place, and a person can stay motionless in one position for hours at a time.
Mildred recalled Jack had been strangely quiet that morning. At the time, she had thought he'd just been getting some much-needed rest.
When he's finished with that stage, he'll act pretty much normal for a few hours. That's what he's going through now. He'll be able to function, but his eyes will get increasingly glassy.
And then?
And then when he comes completely down from the high, he'll want more of it. He'll scratch your eyes out for it, even kill for it, and won't stop until he gets it.
Damn! We've met up with a few muties like that.
They weren't just muties, they were bang addicts. Sec Chief Robards is still working on the drug. He wanted it to be addictive, but not this powerful. It's already wiped out half of the muti community's residents so far, and more are dying every day.
How do you know that?
Eleander didn't answer. Mildred tried a different tack.
How can I get him off it?
If he can get through the first few hours of need, he'll have a bastard headache and will never want to touch the drug again.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
Eleander shook her head.
When he asks for bang, tie him down. Make sure he can't move and can't get at anyone. He'll kill them looking for the drug.
Anything else I need to know?
Yes. Let him scream all he wants. The madness is only temporary.
Oh, great.
They continued on in silence, JB and Ryan keeping their rear clear of sec men.
That's it, over there.
Eleander stopped in front of a gate that was locked with a small lock and thin-gauge steel chain. Christy pulled on the padlock.
Looks like it's locked.
Not for long.
JB approached from the rear. He leveled the Smith & Wesson M4000 at the padlock and waited a moment so everyone could take cover. The padlock and much of the chain vanished in an instant under a cloud of smoke and dust, and the steel of the gate behind it was bent and broken by the blast. The gate slowly swung open. JB slapped the barrel of the scatter gun.
Key to the vill.
The friends headed toward the Wagpool, a large barn standing a block and a half northeast of the Baron's residence. It was made of wood that had been worn and weathered by the elements, but the outside walls had been strengthened by sheet metal and aluminum signs collected from the surrounding countryside. Over the entrance was a rusted sign reading, "Coke is it," and between the large overhead door and a small window was a blue road sign that read, "St. Louis 150. Positioned out in front of the barn were two sec stations built up with bags of dirt and loose earth. The sec men in each bunker were armed with large caliber blasters and a healthy supply of ammo.
Eleander, are there sec men around the back?
There's one, but only because there are no doors on that side of the building.
Can always make an entrance if we need to.
If we get rid of the sec men, can we get in from behind?
The back wall is even more reinforced with metal plate.
Ryan nodded. He needed to come up with a plan in a hurry, since every available sec man in the vill was looking for them, and it was only a matter of time before they figured out the friends would be looking for a wag to escape with.
Okay, here's the plan. Jack will take out the sec man behind the barn, real quiet. Then when he's got the man's blaster, he'll make as much noise as he can. When the two sec men out front come around the building to see what's going on, JB and I will take them out.
Jack nodded, as did JB.
Then Duck and Mildred will take up the positions at the front two posts, doing their best to look like the two dead Sekmen. That should give JB time to select a wag from inside and get it running.
Ryan looked around to see if anyone had anything to add. No one said a word.
All right, let's move.
Where are they now, Robards? I want a report!
They're somewhere in the Ville. Probably laying low, waiting for dark for a chance to scale the walls. When that happens, we'll shoot them like ducks in a gaudy house arcade.
Your men couldn't hit a duck if it was quacking at the end of their blaster.
The Baron was obviously disappointed in the performance of his sex squad of late.
Not to worry, we'll have them.
Without warning, the Baron reached over and pulled the blaster from Robards' hands. The move caught the Sec Chief by surprise, and he looked at the Baron with an open mouth, unable to speak.
Ha! I doubt that!
The man turned the blaster around until it was comfortable in his left hand.
First, two residents escaped the Ville under the noses of your Sekmen because they wanted to go for a swim. Then you bring these outlanders into the Ville and convince me to allow them to stay for a few days. But it was a good thing I did, because they helped stop an invasion of muties that your men seemed unable to control. You had your chance to chill them in the arena, but even that was too much of a task for your so-called highly trained men. And now you've lost them inside the Ville, outlanders who've never walked its streets before.
The Baron shook his head in disgust.
Face it, Robards, you did all right when all you had to deal with were high muties and a few drunken villagers, but you've gone soft on me. You and your force are no match for hardened outlanders like these.
I've kept the peace and been loyal to you for the past 4 years, Baron.
Loyal? That's an interesting choice of word.
But what do you mean?
Well, a loyal Sekman wouldn't do secret work on a new drug without informing me about it, would he?
I don't know what you're talking about, Baron.
Oh, I think you do.
Robards pressed his lips together in a thin white line, and his breathing became heavy.
Before you go thinking about who it was that turned you in, I'll just tell you that I heard the news from 4 different sources.
Robards' face turned white. Baroness Lashini's hand moved over the butt of her blaster, just in case.
I assure you, Baron, I was going to turn the new drug over to you once it was perfected.
A gift for me?
Yes, precisely.
The Baron's left hand shot forward, and the barrel of the Heckler & Koch caught Robards on the chin. The Sec Chief was thrown backward, stumbling a few times before landing on his rear.
I know you've already been selling it, turning the usually manageable muties surrounding the Ville into bang-starved junkie killers. It's too addictive, too powerful, but of course you don't have the brain power to figure that out. You'd keep going until all your customers were gone. Then who the fuck would I sell the regular junk to?
Robards opened his mouth to speak, but Baron Demand kicked him in the chest before he could get a word out.
This episode with the Outlanders was your last chance to redeem yourself. If you hadn't screwed up with them, I might have let you live, or maybe thrown you over the wall into one of the mutant hordes you've created. But no, you screwed this one up too, didn't you?
And then a look of sudden realization broke across the Baron's face. He reached over and pulled his brightly finished Colt Mark IV from his shoulder holster. The barrel gleamed in his hand as he brought it to bear on Robards' head.
Or maybe you were planning on using this whole thing to get rid of me, like a diversion. Yeah, I bet that was it. The Outlanders get their blasters, and one of them is lucky enough to take out the Baron, leaving you in charge of the Ville.
The Baron's eyes narrowed as the Sec Chief's plan became clearer in his mind.
I bet you've even been giving extra jolt and dream to your men, too, so they'd be loyal to you and wouldn't think too hard about how I was chilled under your watch.
The Baron moved his blaster closer to the Sec Chief's head. Just then, a Sekman came running up to the podium.
Chief Robards, we think they've gone inside the Baron's residence.
The Sec Chief's busy at the moment.
Baron Demand pointed the Heckler & Koch in the Sekman's direction, while keeping the Colt Mark IV on Robards' head. The Sekman's mouth moved, but no words escaped his lips. He was obviously too shocked at the sight of the Baron holding a blaster to the Sec Chief to do anything but gape. The Baron didn't move his blaster from Robards' head.
Continue your search. I'll be along to supervise in a few minutes.
The Sekman didn't move.
That will be all.
The Sekman nodded, then turned and left the scene running. In no time, news of what was going on would run through the Sec Force faster than a bad batch of dream. The Baron had to end this confrontation now so he could concentrate his efforts on finding the Outlanders and maintaining control of his Ville.
What was it? You had free access to all the best gaudy houses, more jack than you knew what to do with, your choice of blasters, a hand-picked Sec Force. What more could you have wanted?
Robards swallowed once. and then he finally confessed the truth.
To be the rightful Baron of this vill.
Then you should have left and started your own vill somewhere else!
Jack Lauren felt strange. His arm and shoulder were still sore, but that wasn't the problem. He'd had worse injuries in the past, but he'd never felt his body hum and spasm like this. It was as if his whole body was hungry for something. But what? He could manage at the moment, but he had a strong feeling that it would be getting worse, and soon. Shaking away the thoughts of his own condition, the albino teen moved quickly around the right side of the barn that housed the wagpool. He peered around the corner, and just as the woman had said, there was a sec man in a bunker in the middle of the back wall. Taking him out would be difficult, since the man seemed to be on triple alert with all the noise coming from the rest of the vill. He wouldn't know what was going on, but he'd know enough to think that something was up, and that would make it double hard to get in close. Double hard, but not impossible. Around the other corner of the barn, Ryan was pitching pebbles against the wooden siding, making just enough noise to attract the sec man's curiosity, but not enough to make him leave his post to investigate. While the sec man was looking in Ryan's direction for the source of the sound, Jack moved silently through the grass and weeds behind the barn. The sec man was well trained. Despite his attention being focused on Ryan, he still took the time to look behind him at regular intervals. Jack began counting and realized he would look back every 5 to 10 seconds. Jack moved forward 3 seconds at a time before vanishing into the tall grass. He wanted to get closer, but the grass had been worn down around the bunker for 20 yards in every direction. The albino teen pulled a leaf-bladed throwing knife from one of the hidden pockets inside his jacket and focused on his target. 20 yards was a tricky throw at the best of times, and with the way Jack was feeling, it would be that much more difficult. He waited for the man to look back. Then, when he turned to stare in Ryan's direction, Jack threw the knife. It was low and off target, sticking into a sandbag. The sec man spun.
Who's there?
He raised his long blaster and opened his mouth to utter a challenge, but before he could get another word out, a second knife pierced his throat. At first, he just stood there with a shocked expression on his face as blood poured out of his neck like water from a faucet. Then he grabbed at his throat, and the blood streamed between his fingers in tiny rivulets. Finally, his eyelids fluttered, his head wavered, and he fell backward, dead. Jack hurried into the bunker, picked up the sec man's long blaster, a remade with a decent firing mechanism but a rough hand-carved stock and makeshift sight. Jack raised the weapon and began firing it into the air 3 times, while he shouted a few choice sec man phrases.
Hey, you! Stop! Come back!
And then he crouched low in the bunker and waited. Robards was covered in blood. Baroness Lashini's snub-nosed Browning 38 was smoking. And half of Baron Demand's head was missing from the corpse that was laid out in front of them. The Baroness moved her blaster onto Robards. The sec chief was breathing in ragged gulps as he wiped a man's blood and brains from his face and shoulders.
What do you want from me?
Lashini considered pulling the trigger and taking off Robards' head like she'd done with Demand. But if she chilled both of them, Robards' sec force wouldn't let her get 20 paces before putting a dozen rounds into her back. The vill was hers for the taking, but she needed to play it smart.
An alliance. A partnership.
Even though Robards was still on his knees, he was smart enough to know he was dealing from a position of strength.
Well, I've got a drug operation. What do you have that I would want?
Strength and stability. Baron Demand is dead, but that doesn't automatically make you Baron. I'm sure there are plenty of people in this vill that've got an eye on the position. Some of them probably more worthy of the job than you.
Robards said nothing.
You cut me in for, say, a third of your operation? And I won't try to take this vill over while you're trying to solidify your hold on it.
What will you do for your third?
Transport and delivery. I've got 3 or 4 wags that could make the run to the eastern vills. And I've got horses that could expand your markets over the Badlands to the west. That would leave you free to concentrate on making the stuff. And beating back the Muti addicts.
And if I say no?
Then maybe I'll shoot you right now and take my chances with your dream-soaked sec force. Or maybe I'll call in my own sec force and take over the vill without your help.
Robards hesitated. He had provided so much junk to his men that they might not be able to withstand an attack from Lashini's forces. especially not while their attention was already focused on a band of hardened outlanders.
All right. You can have a quarter of the operation, and the right to expand the market westward as far as you like. I'll give you the junk at cost plus 15%, and leave it up to you what you want to sell it for. Deal?
A sly smile appeared in the corner of Baroness Lashini's mouth. Even though it was just a first step toward controlling the Ville outright, she'd never dreamed it would be so easy.
Deal.
They each grabbed the other's right arm at the wrist. Baroness Lashini pulled Robards to his feet. And then they shook on it.